Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference, or are just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes. Today I talked to Sue Reachin and Paul Botros of the Two Rivers Festival. The annual celebration features 2 months of events that are family-friendly, entertaining, and educational, and all in an effort to get the people of Guelph more acquainted with the waterways that form so much of the Royal City's character. Hanging out by the water and learning things is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now in its fifth year, the Two Rivers Festival is a collection of collectives, a group of groups that comes together under the umbrella of Two Rivers to offer a number of activities meant to celebrate the waters that run through Guelph and make people aware of the ecology and the need to protect them. This awareness takes the form of music, art, recreation, heritage, and science, and in the 2017 festival includes 16 different activities and events from the first weekend in May until the end of June. And you can do it all for free. This year's Two Rivers Festival will include a variety of events including birdwatching, walking, hiking, bicycling, a concert, and appreciation for the various creatures that live in and around the river. On top of that, there will be the annual Two Rivers Cleanup, which has been around for nearly 40 years thanks to the Ontario Public Interest Research Group, or OPIRG. It's always interesting to see what people pull out of the river, from knickknacks like the small Buddha that currently sits on my desk, to really big items like a Guelph Mercury newspaper box I once saw pulled out of the Speed River about 10 years ago. Politically speaking, this year's Two Rivers also takes place in the aftermath of last fall's water-taking debate at City Hall, which drew out hundreds of protesters concerned about Guelph's water being bottled up, shipped out, and sold at a huge markup. So perhaps there's a renewed appreciation for the water and all that it gives us this year. At least that's what the festival organizers are hoping, and that's about as political as they want to get. So on this week's Guelph Politicast, I talked to Paul and Sue about how the festival came about, how it comes together every year, how they come up with the various events and activities, and how they coordinate with all the various groups and individuals that make up those activities. Sue has been with the festival from the beginning, and Paul is a new volunteer. So together they give you a pretty good idea about why the rivers are so important to the people that started the festival and those that have come aboard more recently to help continue it forward. So I caught up with Sue Reachin and Paul Botros of the Two Rivers Festival last week in studio. So Sue Reachin and Paul Botros, thank you for joining me today.
Glad to be here.
Thanks for having us.
You're very welcome. And so you are here to talk about the Two Rivers Festival, which is, we're recording this before the first event coming on Sunday, May the 7th?
6th.
6th? 7th?
7th.
7th.
Oh, nailed geez, it. I'm already wrong.
By the time this airs next week, you'll have had your first event. But in terms of... this is the fifth year of the Two Rivers Festival. Organizing, it's 2 months of events. It's not 2 solid months of events, but it's 2 months. And so in terms of being 5 years old and where you thought the festival was going when it started and where it is now, what are your thoughts on 5 years of Two Rivers?
Well, I was there when it started. So I'm very excited that we made it to 5 years, and we've modified it. It's grown over that time. When we first started, it was a one-week experience and a group of volunteers getting together and pulling together local groups, all on a shoestring, mm-hmm. to help people appreciate the rivers. And now here we are at the five-year mark. With a booklet with all these events over a 2 month period, which gets a lot more participation, with young people on the committee, which is great. That bodes well for the future, eh, Paul?
Yeah, that's right. I just jumped on this year to hop on the bandwagon, basically, after all the hard work had been done over the years by many other volunteers and many other host organizations. And it's pretty remarkable that the event we're able to extend from the beginning of May all the way to the end of June throughout weekends and throughout some weekdays in those 2 months. So it's pretty exciting, and hopefully it keeps water on the minds of Guelphites and people from the surrounding area as well.
Well, I think water is foremost on people's minds the last couple of days. In terms of, Sue, since you said you were there at the beginning, in terms of how it all got started, I think, you know, because Wellington Water Watchers is kind of at the core of this, so water is almost always at the forefront of mind. But in terms of turning water and water appreciation into a festival, into like months of activities, how did that come about?
Well, I must admit, we started with people who just loved the river. And an idea for a festival. Wellington Water Watchers was a group in town 5 years ago, of course, a very important group, but they weren't part of the festival when we started.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got together and just thought, how do we get people in Guelph to really appreciate their rivers? And I think we all felt we wanted it to be something that both celebrated and led to long-term river protection, that people would come to know and love the rivers and then be more involved with them and what was going to happen to them. So the Wellington Water Watchers came on board a couple of years ago as one of our main components, and they've been so helpful in moving us along to the position we're in today,
mm-hmm.
bringing their knowledge and some of their sponsors and their wherewithal about the rivers. So...
And I think that's kind of something key, what you said there, was making people knowledgeable, you know, talking about the importance of the river, because I think that's where you get activism and concern from people, is because if you don't put it forefront in their minds, that is, then it's sort of easy for them to write off and the let someone else do it kind of attitude. I think one of the key components here is that education factor.
Yeah, education for sure. And I think for us, I think the Two Rivers Festival is all about engagement as well. So it's actually having people physically outside and having being in the water for some of the events, later on in the year. Of course, now probably on this Sunday, wouldn't necessarily want to be out in the water. It's going to be -2. But if people are out and having experiences and having a story or building a memory that they can share with their friends at the festival or with one another, hopefully the river will be on their minds as time goes on, and not even when the festival isn't going on, so for the other 10 months of the year.
But I think that's an important thing, Paul, the engagement piece, because the model of the festival was not that we would run the activities. The model is we would engage with local community groups, mm-hmm. who use the river for many of their activities or local issues that were important to the river. And so it sort of trickles down to then they engage the rest of the population. And as Guelph grows, engagement is such a big issue for us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We've had the whole south end of Guelph develop in the last, 25 years.
Yeah.
And they feel very disconnected from the rivers. I mean, it's obvious we have two rivers in Guelph when you're downtown.
Right.
But it's not obvious as you head down Highway 6 towards the 401. And yet there's lots of wetlands and creeks.
Absolutely.
And important features of Guelph that make it a very livable city, including our water source.
Yeah.
Where these rivers are just at the core of that sort of engagement. So that's one of the things we're trying to do, is to draw the whole city together around the rivers, the recreational possibilities it offers, the kinds of groups that exist to help families and individuals get out, and then, of course, the very core of our existence, the protection of our water source.
Mm-hmm.
For our drinking water. And we're one of the few communities in Ontario, especially of this size, who relies on groundwater for our drinking water. And that's pretty special in my point of view.
I think Guelph is the biggest community of its size to depend on the groundwater as a water source.
Yes.
You make a great point about the connection to the rivers. And, it's... You do see the Speed, you see the Aramosa, but, you know, part of Guelph is also a lot of underground water. There are a lot of, you know, streams and creeks that go underwater, and you see some of the remnants of that, mm-hmm. in different places around town. But, yeah, it does seem like it does seem like that once you get over the Speed River and you start heading down into the South End, the water doesn't seem to be part of that character. The character of the rest of the town is very much formed by those bodies of water and where they cut through. And it's a little bit different in that part of town. So it's almost like, I don't know, it's almost like trying to introduce one part of town into another part of town and you know, recognizing that character, that the river also divides one very water-centric, water-modeled town and another part of town that it doesn't have that.
And yet, if you really delve into it, the river, where the Niska Bridge is, that's been quite a source of contention, is one of the most beautiful natural areas of the river, and that's in the South End. Mm-hmm. The big development that's coming in Guelph right now, the Claire Maltby development, that the city is working on by involving citizens and everybody in a big joint venture about how it's going to be developed, is full of wetlands and little water courses, and it's the source of the regeneration, a lot of the regeneration of our aquifer. So in the South End, water is very important as well. So even if we can get people to not only love the rivers, but to see wetlands and streams as a habitat and a safety area for our water and a source of recreation, I think that would be a real step forward in engaging the whole city of Guelph around the issue of water and rivers.
Because it's all connected, even if we can't see the connections.
Yes, underground it sure is.
Would you say the point of the festival is a celebration of our waterways, or is it about the education of our waterways, or is it like equal parts both? Or
I would say it's a combination of all of those elements. It's connecting people with the waterways. It's educating about the waterways and how they bring our downtown together. And it's also, I think too, it's also an opportunity for people to just be reminded again of that, you know, hey, there's an outside.
It is sometimes sometimes easy to forget there is an outside. Yeah,
exactly. So it is just, you know, bringing that again to the forefront of the mind. I think, Sue, what do you think about the?
I think it's, you know, an incredible opportunity also to bring people to understand the history of the waterways. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a really important piece for me. Of course, I'm a little bit older, so history assumes more importance as you age. But I think if people feel engaged with the history, then they're also more engaged with all these other kinds of things and how precious it is because our use of rivers has changed so much.
Right.
I mean, it started when Guelph was small as the transportation system and the garbage system, right?
Right.
Hmm. You sort of threw everything in and it became somebody else's problem without river.
That's right.
As well as lots of other things. So the history, and that's especially important this year, the history, because we're celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Covered Bridge.
Right.
And the 120th anniversary of Gow's Bridge. Right near Royal City Park. So that history piece is important. But to appreciate it, just like Paul says, you got to get outside.
Also, the, you know, industrial, you know.
Yes.
Rivers were used, you know, to churn the mills, to turbine power.
Yeah, big important piece.
It does seem like Guelph's history is built around, and I think, you know, if you look back and the factors that went into settling this land, the fact that it was at the junction of two major rivers was one of the reasons that John Galt set up shop here.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little about this year's festival, because I know you guys are probably eager to promote the various the various events. Right in the middle, of course, is the Two Rivers cleanup, what used to be the Speed River cleanup. And at what point did that become sort of, it almost seems like that's the centerpiece. I'm not sure if it's intended that way, because it's just by the benefit of sort of being in the middle. But that used to be the primary way people would engage on the rivers was going down to the Speed River on Saturday in June and clean stuff up.
And it was almost the only organized way.
Yeah.
Was the big Speed River cleanup. And we centered around that when we started. That was sort of our opening event, I think. Yeah, so, but we've now built things around that. And so we start all the way with this Sunday, the 7th, with outdoor games for kids. And we continue with an International Migratory Bird Day, so bird watching the next Saturday, and then hikes that same weekend on the Sunday. And then we even go so far during the week to have a garlic mustard and pesto making, garlic mustard pull and pesto making, which is interesting. How do you turn a negative garlic mustard invasion into a positive, a nice pesto for your dinner? Mm. So it gets rid of some of it and then shows how to use it. And then we work our way through May with a wonderful cycling and a pint event. On the 27th.
And I'll be sure to attend that, absolutely.
You have to do the cycling before
Yes, you do have to cycle.
There's no drinking and biking.
Yeah.
Very important.
And then on the 28th, we have a historic bridges walking tour that will look at the history of the bridges all the way from the Norwich Bridge down to Gow's Bridge at Royal City Park, followed by a new event this year, and that's a wonderful little 45-minute concert by James Gordon.
Heard of him.
Yes, Guelph's very own troubadour. And that will be in Royal City Park at the gazebo.
Mm.
And then in June, are there things that we start with the river cleanup? Do you want to highlight the rest
there? Yep, absolutely.
There?
So we're starting with the river cleanup, and that'll be on Saturday in June 3rd. And we're doing that in the morning, so you can enjoy it in the afternoon after it's nice and tidy. On the Sunday, we're going to be doing a hike with kids at the Yorklands, and it'll be a guide to exploration and an ecological tour.
Mm-hmm.
On the Wednesday, we have an event in the middle of the week where we'll be at the Arboretum taking a look at some of the creek creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And on the 17th, on the Saturday, there's a pollinator day in the garden. And I think that's really important, bringing in some ideas of insects and pollination and important vegetation along our banks for that particular event.
Right.
And then on the 18th, a couple of fun events. We are going to be discussing the trees along the river, a guided tour of that, and followed at 3 p.m. with some singing under the bridge. And we're going to cap it all off with our last event, which is a nighttime event on Saturday, June 24th, which we'll be taking a look at moths that surround the river at night. So it's ecology, it's biology, it's all sorts of things, and history as well, with some of our covered bridge tours in May. So we're really trying to touch across, you know, all aspects of our community. And so hopefully people go away with not just knowledge, but with more connections to the people within their community as well.
And this doesn't come from festival organizers. You kind of put out a call to see what kind of events people want to put on. And I'm not telling you how you do your festival, obviously, but I'm trying to...
Well, that's the model. What we do is there's a small group of dedicated volunteers, including Paul and I, and we engage other community groups to run the events. So it's the Hiking Club, it's the Arboretum, it's the GRCA, it's... the Historical Society, those kinds of groups in our community who actually put on the event with their volunteers.
Right.
So that's how it works.
It's a collective of collectives.
It is. Yes, that's a good way to put it.
In terms of the effort then you put in, and you and the other organizers of the festival put in, is it easier to find people who want to help put on these events? Or do you have like a buzz going now, and that people are eager to take part? And 5 years in, it seems the thing's pretty well established now.
This has only been my first year being involved, and it's been actually a real blast. We get together about once a month face-to-face and get to enjoy some cookies and mixed nuts, so that's always a draw. And we've made use of really extensively of Google Drive, and we found that that's a great tool to collaborate throughout the week, or whenever, if you feel like getting some volunteer work done in the middle of the night or whatever, you can hop on and have some tasks complete. But that's kind of been our tools to connect with one another, and it's allowed us to share and bring in all the other organizations that have their volunteers and also the knowledge for the events that they run as well. So it's really like our role has been more to kind of mediate and see that on the date that we're having events that someone is available to attend that event and someone's available to see that people show up and encourage people to show up and encourage people to stay connected and stay informed with what's going on with our rivers.
Is it easy to get people to come out now? Or, you know, are we sort of hyper aware of our water now?
It's easier to get people to come out to the events than when we first started, because I think with the booklet and the publicity, we're reaching more people. Mm-hmm. And it's a great program. You know, it's a great family-oriented program as well. So that part is easier. I think it's challenging to try and come up with new groups and new activities so we keep the program fresh from year to year and sort of brainstorm who are the people in the community we could ask to participate. The groups that do participate, I think, are glad to do it because it can help their membership. The hiking club gets known, for example. Mm-hmm. Bird watching that's run by Nature Guelph, it's a way to connect with new people who might potentially be members because they found a love of something they want to do through this program. So it's a mixture of both people excited to come back and then us having to recruit new people and get them on board or new groups that might want to run something.
Right. I'm also wondering about the audience, too, though, because I remember, and this is kind of going into the political, but this is the Guelph Politicast, but I remember the turnout for the water debates, about the bottled water debates and the Nestle renewal contract last fall, and it brought out a lot of people. And I go to a lot of political events, obviously, but I remember those demonstrations, and there wasn't a lot. I mean, there were a lot of the people who I do see at a lot of different demonstrations. There's definitely a political club or a political class in Guelph, but there were also a lot of people whose faces I didn't recognize. And I think that people are maybe more aware of the importance of water and the need to protect water than they have been in the past. And I do wonder if that's reflected in your events as well. You know, are you getting more people out just to learn more, just to take part more?
Maybe. I think they come out for the fun, though. And then our hope is come for the fun and stay for the important stuff. Hang in. Maybe we can, in the long run, engage you then in something that moves the whole protection of rivers and water along. So our purpose is not political.
Right.
It's certainly just to the recreational and fun part. But we do, underlying that, hope these people, because they've enjoyed it and they want it to continue for their children or grandchildren, as in my case, that they will get involved in some of the political pieces to ensure that the rivers are there in the future. Mm-hmm. In the way we want them to be.
I think the Two Rivers Festival is a great tool and a great mechanism to have people with the rivers at the forefront of their mind. Now, whether or not after the festival's over, if that's true or not, we hope that they do take a little bit of the event with them and continue carrying it forward and continue coming back to either our festival or any festival that celebrates water or any event that you feel like you get the opportunity to appreciate bodies of water, how we're connected to water. We're hoping to take that and maybe change that into kind of a longer term view, and just pretty much to echo what Sue said, hopefully from that long term view, people can take action for themselves and in their own homes and see and look at water differently and look at our relationship to water and maybe manage that a little differently. But that's, you know, that's for the hardcore people who...
If I could just add to that, on the back of our wonderful booklet, which is available at a number of the libraries or online at tworiversfestival.org, The city of Guelph has the back cover talking about how we can conserve our water.
Mm-hmm.
So underlying all of this are those messages of how important the water is to our lives and what we can do as individuals to make sure that it lasts all summer.
Right.
Yeah.
And into the winter, our drinking water. And so I think we certainly have underlying this festival those long-term political goals
mm-hmm.
of having people aware of how important it is to Guelph.
Right, but I think because of that, because of efforts like these, it almost seems like it's not political. There is a majority agreement about the importance of water. You know, there are still a lot of things about environmentalism and conservation that are, for whatever reason, political, but it seems, at least in Guelph here, water isn't the political, you know, it isn't a political bomb that it used to be. We're
yes.
kind of all on the same yeah. page, which I find interesting. You want to plug who designed the booklet? Because you've been talking about the booklet a lot. I feel like the person who designed that should get credit.
Laura.
Laura.
Laura Andretti. I think that's
yeah,
how
I'm going to butcher her last name. So.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So she did the booklet. And again, another volunteer. You
mm-hmm.
know, everybody on our committee is a volunteer. We're all in it for the love of the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So she did a wonderful job. And it has little facts in it. So it's a keeper booklet, too. As well as a great brochure with information on all the activities. And I would like to mention that we were able to have a booklet because we have industries and individuals in the community that have sponsored us to do that. They yep. have contributed funds. We have no budget.
Mm-hmm.
We just have our own bodies to go with and what we're willing to do. And these committed people have contributed money so that we could publish a booklet.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked a lot about the significance of the rivers to Guelph and to the people in general, but in terms of the significance to yourselves and the importance the river plays in your own lives and why you're seeking to protect it, can you talk about your personal experiences with the river?
For me, I run recreationally, and when I do that, I actually like to be along the river. And for me, it's, you know, there's so much of our day where we're wrapped up, you know, firing a million emails or with our faces down in our phones and living our lives so much more in a digital way and not so much a, I guess, analog way, but for lack of a better word. So for me, being along the river and going on runs along the river really gives you an idea of how the river meanders, the layout of the the layout of the ecology surrounding the river, and it really gives me an opportunity to let my mind go and not be checking my email or checking my phone and really just enjoying my surroundings. So for me, when I'm around the river and when I'm out with my shoes and I'm running, it's just the perfect time to just let go and forget whatever my troubles are in the day or anything else like that.
And while Paul's out running.
Yes, I'm not running. I'm walking or cycling. Those are the two things I love to do. And like Paul, I live two blocks from the river. And before, I lived in the south end close to the Niska part of the river, which
mm-hmm.
Is not really developed yet for recreational things. But I see the rivers as such a source of beauty, of recreation, of habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So many things exist in Guelph because we have the rivers.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a real interest in trees as well, and having a beautiful shaded city where people can get out and walk and cycle. And the rivers and the water that they provide is very important to a treed environment as well. So for me, it's a big circle with the rivers, the creatures that live in it, the things that grow along it, and then how that extends into the rest of the city, and then how the water from the city runs back into the rivers to replenish the rivers. So, yeah.
We are unfortunately have run out of time, but if people want to get involved or learn more about the festival or get one of those fabulous booklets and engage with you guys, how can they do that?
Well, like I said, they can pick them up at most of the libraries have copies, or our website is the number two, riversfestival.org. And you can download a copy of the brochure there, printed if you want, or just look at it online. And we do want, if possible, people to register for events online so we know how many people are coming. Yeah. We also have a Facebook page, Two Rivers Festival. Facebook page, so you can get information there.
Yeah, and you can see a description of all of our events in the booklet and online, and you can pick them up at many local businesses throughout Guelph, and you can see those ones for what they are online and in our brochure as well.
Well, we'll leave people with that, and maybe we will see more people out and about at the festival this year. And Sue Reachin and Paul Botros, thank you so much for talking to me today, and I guess we'll see you along the river.
Thanks, Adam.
Thanks.
And once again, that was Sue Reachin and Paul Botros of the Two Rivers Festival. Festivities continue this weekend with International Migratory Bird Day at the Covered Bridge on Saturday, and a walk over a river and along another on Sunday. For the full list of activities and how you can get involved, go to tworiversfestival.org. And that's all for this week's edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes, and while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is also a Guelph Politico Facebook page, which you can find at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And of course, you can donate to Guelph Politico on Patreon at patreon.com/GuelphPolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we'll have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.